Like Beth said, we are going to be talking about prayer this fall, and I sense that the Lord is calling the church to prayer, and we find that in many places in Scripture. And you have a handout, even on your table, that I listed a few things that I got from the internet where God is calling his people to pray. One of those verses is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to read that for you. I urge then, first of all, that requests and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in authority. And if you skip down to verse 4, it gives the reason why. For God desires that all men are to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that word there, urge, it is a word also can mean call. And it calls somebody to do something, but it's a stronger word than just an invitation or a calling. It's an urging. And he's calling upon the church to do something. And what he's calling the church in Ephesus to do is to pray. It wasn't the only thing they were to do. It was the first thing they were to do. And like that first century church, we live in a world that is in desperate need of God and of the gospel. We can look at our world. We can talk with our neighbors. And they need us to be praying. And prayer is what God is calling his people to do today as a part of his plan for this world. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we have a pastor that's also calling us to prayer. And so this fall, we women are going to spend some time learning how we can better respond to God's call to prayer. Can I pray real quick? Father, thank you for calling us to prayer. Thank you for that invitation, a gentle call and a not so gentle call. And I ask for each one of us, Father, that you would give us the ears to hear and the heart to respond. But I thank you, Father, first and foremost, that you are the one who is calling us, your daughters. We thank you, Father, for this time just to gather as your daughters and as sisters in the Lord, all because of Jesus, all because of Jesus. Father, open our ears to hear what you'd have us to learn tonight. Father, give me the right words. I thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to take a couple minutes. I think most times people start talking about prayer, we want to define it. So if you just talk in your groups a little bit and answer, what is prayer and what is its purpose? And if there's anybody in your group you haven't had time to meet yet, go ahead and take a couple minutes to do that. So what is prayer and what is its purpose? We'll take a couple minutes in our group. In the Scripture, many times there is this call, and there's this call to prayer, that there's this gentle call to fellowship. And somebody said here, it's about how stay connected with the Lord. It's this relationship, this call to prayer. He invites us to pray. And the word can even mean he calls us by name. But then there's, like in this, in 1 Timothy 2, there's this urging, which is a not so gentle call. This exhortation to do something, and that's the prayer to do service, intercession, praying for others, doing the work, kingdom work on our knees in prayer. So there's so many different dynamics of prayer. I think as long as we live, we'll only scratch the surface, I think. And I think it's easy for us to think initially that this is a conversation just between God and myself. And it is. It's a vital. But praying people make up a praying church. And I was reading the account of the early church in Acts. I looked at every place where there was praise, praying, prayer. And it's interesting that there are more times of praying with someone or someones than praying alone for the early church. It was natural for early believers to pray together. So this fall, our focus is going to be on praying with others, praying in community. And our primary source of study is going to be the Bible. We're going to look at Acts in the early church. The Bible's full of prayers from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about people praying because that's what people do. Christians do. They pray in relationship with the Lord. But even though there's all the prayers are there and even some of their prayers are recorded, the Bible's not a manual on prayer. It doesn't tell us how it works. The writers of the Bible seem to be more interested in showing people at prayer than telling us about prayer. So we're going to open up the New Testament and look in on an early church prayer meeting. It's found in Acts 4. Not to duplicate this moment in history, but to listen in and learn from them. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Acts 4. You also have this handout. If you open it up, Acts 4 is printed out for you. And I did the New American Standard. And I've spaced it so you can write on it. So from our observations in Acts this fall, we're going to consider three different things. We're going to consider the need for community prayer, its importance in the life of the church. We're going to look at its impact on the early church and their world. And then each month, we're going to spend time in small groups praying ourselves, praying together. We're going to learn to pray together. And the reason we're going to do that is because learning to pray is kind of like learning another language. In that you can't learn to speak Spanish or Chinese or another language from reading a textbook or listening to a lecture. You have to practice with others who know the language or are learning it with you. And there are a lot of good books on prayer, but you don't learn to pray by reading a book. You learn to pray by praying. And so in reality, the early church learned to pray largely by praying with others. The young Christians learned to pray in community with mature believers, which tells us moms that our kids learn to pray by praying with us. And we're also going to practice praying together, because in any prayer gathering we might attend, there may be believers who are very comfortable praying with others and some who have never prayed in a group before. Some of us are afraid to pray out loud, and we feel intimidated by those that we think pray really well. And so we remain silent. But we need to think of our toddlers when they are first learning to speak. Is there anything more wonderful to our ears than their first words? And is our Heavenly Father any different than the first time we try praying? How wonderful it is to Him to hear. So it's not about how well or eloquent we speak. It's about who we're praying to. So, and then there's those of us who are very comfortable praying in a group, but sometimes we forget that there are those who aren't so comfortable, and we, without knowing it, might intimidate. So we're going to spend some time practicing and learning to pray together. Because I think most of us probably were taught that prayer is something we do on our own, in our prayer closet. And so as we're praying together, we're going to apply a few basic principles for community prayer that's unique for community prayer. Because we pray different in community than we do by ourselves. And so I think following these principles will help a little bit, whether you prayed out loud before or not, to feel more comfortable, and it's going to help unify the group. So we're going to look at the need for community prayer, the impact, and then we're going to spend time praying together. So, but before we begin our study in Acts, I want to read you a short story. Some of you may have heard this before, from Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, about what he thought about the prayer meeting. It's a boiler room. Probably heard it before. Five young college students were spending a Sunday in London, so they went to hear the famed C.H. Spurgeon preach. While waiting for the doors to open, the students were greeted by a man who asked, "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church?" They were not particularly interested, for it was a very hot day in July, but they didn't want to offend the stranger, so they consented. The young men were taken down a stairway, a door was quietly opened, and their guide whispered, "This is our heating plant." Surprised, the students saw 700 people bowed in prayer, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon to begin in the auditorium above. Softly closing the door, the gentleman then introduced himself. It was none other than Charles Spurgeon. This man who is known for preaching attributed the power to those that were praying. So let's open up our printout to Acts 4, and Jeanette, I think, is going to read this for us. We're going to read starting in verse 23. Like I said, I printed the New American Standard. Yeah, please do. Do you want to come up here and read?
Sure.
Okay.
When they had released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you had anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through your name, through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, they placed the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness.
Okay, in verse 23 it says, when they had been released, they went to their own. Now, the companions that's inserted there is a translation. The translators inserted that. But in the original Greek, it reads, they went to their own. And their own in the Greek means one's own, belonging, the group they belong to. And if you think in our study of John, when we were in the first chapter, verse 11, it says, Jesus came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And the group that Jesus as a man belonged to were the Jews. So his own, that's the group that he belonged to. So in Acts 4 here, what qualified someone to be a part of this group? When Peter and John went to their own, who did they go to?
Christians.
What's qualified them? That they were believers in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, in looking at our lives, who is our own? As the church today, who is our own? It's easy. The same. That's right. Christians. So locally, who's our own? And globally, who's our own? Yeah, there's this belonging, this group that we belong to. So an important principle of the need for community prayer is that it demonstrates to the world that we're a family. When we gather and pray, it demonstrates to the world that we're a family. So Ephesians 4:30, Paul exhorts the Christians in Ephesus, don't bring sorrow to God's Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. Isn't that cool? He has identified you as his own in Jesus. So there's a sense of belonging to God and each other. And people all around us long to belong. So the church gathered together in prayer says to a watching world that we're a family. Testifies we are children of God and he is our Father. In relationship and in fellowship. And he is the one that we go to in our times of need. And trust me, the world watches. And it's saying to them that we're family, and we go to the one who can meet our needs, and that's our Father. Back to Acts, verse 24. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God. Peter and John went to their own and told them what had happened. And how did the church respond to their report? They prayed. That's how they responded. They prayed. The author of Acts, and it's Luke, identifies one of the most unique and significant elements about this early church community. Peter and John found others who cared, and they shared, and the whole gathering accepted the burden of the two as their own, and they prayed to God as one. One of the key names or metaphors for the church, and we found this in Ephesus and Colossians, is body of Christ. So think of your human body. When a part of our body, whether an elbow or a knee, gets cut or scraped, what is our natural response? We instinctively cover it and protect it. We take our hands, we cover and protect. Matter of fact, we won't let our parents even look at it to see how bad it is. But that's what we instinctively do. We cover and protect. We cover and protect whatever's been hurt. And the church is the body of Christ. When any member of the body, local or global, has a need or hurt, how do we care for them? How do we cover and protect? Prayer is an essential way that we do that. We cover and protect in prayer. So let me ask you some what ifs. What if an earthquake hits on the other side of the world, devastation to human life, and a Christian family in the U.S. hears about it and gathers together in their living room and prays? What if one of our gospel partners emails an urgent prayer request? Their small group changes their normal routine that when they regularly meet and spends an extended time praying. What affects one family member affects the rest of the family. Imagine how this might affect us, might affect the church, might affect the world. You know, today, uniquely, is the anniversary of 9/11. And I was watching on the news a parade that was honoring those first responders who gave their lives. And the truth is, in any crisis or situation, the church really is called to be the first responders. We respond in prayer. Before anybody can get there, we can pray. But it will cost us. It costs us comfort and convenience at times. But praying is not only the way we tell the world that we're a family, but it's also the way we take care of each other. When we gather and pray, we take care of each other. I am thankful to be a part of a church that shares and cares and prays well for its members. I have prayed for you, and I've been a recipient of your prayers, and I am thankful for that. I like this quote, and I can't say who did it, because when I looked it up, several men had said it, so I don't know who said it first. Bunyan was the oldest, so he must have, but anyway. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. And we are called to put feet to our prayers, but our first response should be to pray. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. So I said that we're going to spend time each month learning to pray with others. We're kind of going to be like kind of practicing praying, but we're praying. So then I said we're going to follow some basic principles for community prayer, because you never know in a group when someone is comfortable praying and someone is not. And the things we've learned, how we've learned to pray in our homes alone, it's different than how we pray in community. And it should be. And these principles are just practical principles. Some of them we used to hear: be brief, be bold, be biblical. There's many ways of saying these principles. And they vary depending on the size, depending on the people who are there. But they're just practical things. So if you turn to the back of your sheet, I printed them out for you. So some basic principles for community prayer are: pray short prayers, pray conversationally, pray one request at a time, pray loud enough for others to hear, pray and listen. So pray short, simple prayers. We need to do that because it's different than how we pray by ourselves. When we're at home, we can pray 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes by ourselves. But when we're praying with others, how might that hamper things if we're praying like that when we're praying with others? How might that affect the group that's praying?
Others possibly won't pray.
If, depending on the time, there's sometimes, I have been in prayer meetings when a very sweet saint prayed almost the whole time. I'm not going to confess if that was me or not. So there are different ways that it can hamper the group being able to pray together. Besides, it's intimidating to someone who's never prayed before. And they're like, I can't pray like that. I'm not even going to try. So many people call it like this, popcorn. Oh, that is the sweetest thing. Sigh. But many people call it like popcorn praying, just throwing up prayers to the Lord. That's one way of looking at it. So don't be afraid to pray one or two sentence prayers. Less is often more. So pray short, simple prayers when you're praying with others. The other thing, pray conversationally. What do you think that means? Pray how you would talk. Kind of back and forth like friends would talk, yes. There doesn't have to be an order to how you pray. You don't have to go in a circle. And it doesn't matter how many times you pray. You can pray more than once. And you can pray in any order. So pray conversationally. Pray one request or topic at a time. Now, this is different than how we pray by ourselves, because usually we kneel or sit, and we can cover all the topics that we're going to pray because it's just us. So when we're praying with others, and I've heard somebody say it like this, avoid praying around the world, praying multiple topics at a time. Because this allows others to pray about a certain request that we just prayed. But if it ends up being, I prayed for five things, and somebody has it on their heart to pray for number three, it feels very disjointed to jump back to number three. Usually we don't. So, praying about one topic at a time allows others to pray in agreement with you. Add to that prayer as the Holy Spirit leads. And many times prayer meetings, and our church does this, that there's a leader who directs. We're going to pray about this now and that now. But that's not always the case. So pray short prayers conversationally. Pray one request at a time. And the other is to pray loud enough for others to hear. Don't need to say any more about it. And actually, that's different than how we pray alone, too. Because sometimes I just pray in my head. Because we're praying to God, but we're also praying that others might hear. Because it's edifying to pray with others. There's nothing wrong with that. And last is pray and listen. Don't be afraid of times of silence. We're waiting on the Lord. You said it very well, Adrian. He can redirect our prayers. I think listening to each other in the Holy Spirit, someone might pray something and it triggers a thought in me. And then that's the Holy Spirit directing. I might pray then out loud and add to that prayer, and it might trigger a scripture in somebody else's mind, and then they'll pray that scripture, and we're building on each other's prayers. And we're praying in agreement. We can pray in agreement in silence. It really is many praying as one. It's not many praying as many. It's many praying as one. So most of the time in prayer meetings I think that we attend, Each person prays once, and they pray a longer prayer. And since there's a lot of topics to cover, we pray many topics at the same time. But praying short prayers, one topic, listening to each other, and the Holy Spirit allows others to add to our prayers, and we pray in agreement, and we can build on each other's prayers. And the Holy Spirit can direct us, because he speaks to all of us. And we have different personalities, and we have different spiritual gifts. I know when I'm praying with someone who has mercy. And it's like, oh, I didn't think of praying like, it just adds to the whole, what the Lord is doing. He uses all parts of the body. Just like every member of the body is important in the church, every member in the prayer group is important. And these guidelines aren't meant to be legalistic or to hinder, but to help and to encourage as we grow in sensitivity to each other. And so we're going to learn and begin practicing these principles, because practice does make perfect. And at first it may seem kind of structured and awkward, but I think as we get more and more comfortable with it, it'll have a harmonious effect in our times of prayer. So we're going to break up into groups and spend some time praying. You'll learn a whole lot more about praying together than from me. So if you look on the back of your handout, I've kind of listed what we're going to be praying about tonight. And a good place to begin praying together is to pray simple one-sentence prayers. And I think a good place to begin any prayer is focusing on the Lord. And so we're going to start with the psalm. We're going to start, and so if you have your Bibles or if you have it on your phone, Psalm 100. So we're going to break up in groups of three. Some tables can do that. Oh, that's perfect. Yep, we are. Groups of three. Perfect. We're going to break up into groups of three. And we'll each go off in an area around here that you can be a little bit by yourself. And so you have your handout, but you also have an index card there. Do you see that on the table? Yep, grab your index card. Grab your Bible or your phone and grab the handout. So we're going to start with praying through Psalm 100. Each person will read one verse. And so obviously, since we're doing this, you are going to have to go in an order. So each person's going to read one verse as we begin our time of prayer. And then next, we're going to pray a sentence of thanksgiving. And I've even written it out, and you can fill in the blank. And there's places there for three things, so we can pray more than once. But writing out a sentence prayer, I think, is beneficial. It's how I learned to pray. When I first learned to pray, I was scared to death. And first time I ever went to a women's Bible study, the pastor was teaching it. And I was scared to death, and I didn't pray out loud for a long time. And I don't know how this happened, but he talked to me one time and said, write out your prayer, slip it in your Bible. When you come, everybody's head is bowed, eyes are closed, pull it out. When you want to pray, read it. It was two sentences. Slip it back in your Bible. Nobody knows. That's how I learned to pray, and I did that for a while until I had the courage to pray out loud, because the first time you have to say it out loud scared me to death. I don't know why. It may not have been that way for you, but it was for me. But after practice, it got easier and easier. But that's how I started praying. I read. I had a cheat sheet. And so everybody's going to use a cheat sheet today, because we're going to all pray the same. And if anybody comes in this room, they'll never know if you're a person who's very comfortable praying or you're a person who's not comfortable praying, because we're all starting at the same place as we're learning to pray together. And so, I've taken care of that. Most of it is right there. Lord or Father, however you address God, I thank you for, there's really only room for a word or two. I thank you for your mercy. I really, there really is. I looked at that and thought, I really made those kind of small, but maybe that'll work out good. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he does. So take a pen or pencil with you, and I want you to fill it in, write in, everybody. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That won't fit on there. Thank you for, and no, none of Paul's run-on sentences. One sentence. And there's three spaces. So when we're doing this, when you're doing the psalm, you're going to have to go in a circle. Everybody, pray, read one verse. But in this, you don't have to go in order, and you can pray more than once. But I want everybody to write it out and just spend some time thanking the Lord. And if somebody takes the same thing you just said, Lord, I thank you that you are mercy, and somebody else writ that down, just say, I agree, Lord. I thank you, you are mercy. Yes. Thank him for who he is or what he does. Yeah. Yeah. The thankful ones are thanking him for who he is. We're going to enter his courts with thanksgiving. No, his gates with... Okay. I knew it was some... You have to get in there somehow. So we're going to offer some thanksgiving. After we do that, then, we're going to ask the Lord to help us, teach us to pray. And so what we're going to do then is each lady's going to share one way that they would like to grow in their prayer life. I need to find the time to pray. Or I'd like to find some people, some other ladies to pray with. Or I just want the desire to pray. And so we're going to share a prayer request asking the Lord to teach each one of us to pray. So that's what your cards are for. So what you're going to do is you're going to write out, each lady write out the prayer requests of the three of you in your group. Also include your name and your phone number on that card so that you can take this home and pray for each other and maybe even have a chance to get together this month. So I want each one to offer a prayer request, and then each one of you, there's lines here on this also, each one of you write out a one-sentence prayer and pray for each other. And the person who even asked for the request can pray for themselves. So does everybody understand? Is that good? We're going to pray through a psalm. We're going to pray thanksgiving to the Lord. All you have to do is fill in the blank. You can pray more than once. And then third, we're going to share prayer requests on how we'd like the Lord to teach us to pray. And write out the prayer requests on your index cards, and then write out your prayer, your one-sentence prayer. And then you just read your prayers. So we're going to take about 20 minutes or so. Yeah, we got plenty of time. Take 20 minutes or so and spend some time praying. You may want to ask one person to kind of lead. So one person of your group of three, why don't you ask, see if one person will lead. And that'll help you guys stay on track and lead. And so when you hear the music, I'm going to play some music right here. When you hear the music, you can start closing and come on back and come back to your tables. Okay, everybody? Good? Okay, you have to take your chairs, your Bibles, a pencil. I think you can go out there in the entryway a little bit. How many it was uncomfortable praying? How many was uncomfortable praying one sentence? It's very hard. You cheated? Should I call you Paul?
I confessed to prayer.
And more times than not, but this is a good way to practice and get a feel. And I think once you see the results of praying conversationally, one topic at a time, short prayers, and people being able to add to that request right then, and it triggers somebody else, and they add to it, and it triggers, and pretty soon we're just building on each other's prayers. And it gets to the place where, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer. He's kind of like the conductor. He might, it's your turn, and it's your turn, and it's your turn. But he doesn't necessarily want solos the whole night. And so it's just learning, it's learning to pray in community. And it looks different depending on the group, and it looks different on the size of the group, and it's different on the individuals who are there. And your purpose for gathering. Sometimes you get together and pray for just one reason. And sometimes you get together and it's a prayer meeting, you pray about many things. Any other thoughts?
I like the beginning of the psalm because it kind of puts your focus in a good place. And I know that one thing I've learned through praying with Terry and with the other Sweet Fellowship ladies is just personalizing, you know, those psalms. You know, Lord, you are my maker. I will praise you all my days, and change those pronouns in the psalm as you pray, as you're kind of adopting it as your own, which is sweet to do in a group.
Mm-hmm. It does. It gets a focus on him. What did you find about sharing prayer requests? Louder. Oh, she said, yes, the whole thing.
I hear you.
Remember, you're supposed to talk loud.
I found their purpose encouraging. There was things that I hadn't thought about. And as I was listening to them, and they were in my own perspective, it's encouraging my prayer life.
I agree. Yeah. It's really hard to not let the whole evening be the prayer requests, and then you end up just somebody has to close. And we all do it.
Or we mentioned too, when you get, I think, a little bit more used to the quick, bold, short prayers. I was telling the two younger women that I was praying with that one regret I have in raising our kids was that I didn't stop and do that anymore with my kids in the need of a moment. Because maybe we get to that, oh, well, I'm going to go pray in my quiet time later or whatever, and you can do that too, but to model it and go, let's just talk right now, and you can say a two-sentence prayer and just do it, and what impact it can have in your family.
Yes. Yeah. Now, our kids, I think what this is saying, more is caught on prayer than taught, and they are watching and learning from us. Yeah. So that they grow up being comfortable praying in a group. Well, I think that most of us, many of us are committed to having our prayer times with the Lord, our quiet times, you know, in our prayer closet. And that, amen to that. Amen to that. But I think the members of the early church were committed to gathering and praying together. And we have busy lives, and they had busy lives. Praying together is rarely easy or convenient, but the priority of the church is an encouragement to us to gather and pray, whatever size group the Lord asks us, because we're in different seasons of life, and it's going to look different for each one of us. And if I were to ask the question, which is more important, our individual prayer times or community prayer?
Yes.
Yep. And I heard somebody say this, and it has stuck with me. Which is more crucial to walking, your right foot or your left foot? And it's true. I don't think we were raised, I wasn't raised that way. I didn't grow up that way. We're an individualistic society. Just go and be with the Lord. And then we have prayer meetings. But to think of just spontaneously, let's pray. I need somebody to pray with. We don't do that as much. I think if we will, adding community prayer will bring balance to our Christian walk. Probably literally. As well as blessings and great joy. Nothing brings me more delight and joy than praying with other ladies. It is a joy and delight. So one of the things I wanted us to do, because we do have busy lives, is to look at some practical ways that we can start adding community prayer to our lives. And so I wanted to go through some who, what, when, where, and why. How we can start adding. So any input that you have, I want to hear. I just tried to rack my brain a little bit. And like I said, we're in different seasons of life, and so it's going to look differently for each one of us. But suggestions for adding community prayer. So who prays? Obviously. Community praying can involve two, or it can involve the whole church. It's two who have a relationship with the Lord and a relationship with each other through Jesus Christ. So when two or more gather, community prayer. So that's what we're talking about. When? There can be planned prayer. And just some things that I've thought of. Our third Thursday at church here, that is planned prayer. Come and join if you can. Small groups are planned prayer. You can have family time, couples. There's organizations out there, and I don't think it's called this anymore, Moms in Touch. Those are times that women can gather and pray for elementary schools. How many of you have a family over for dinner once in a while? We have hospitality. That's a great time to pray. Close your evening together with 10 minutes praying together as either the couples or bring the kids in. Have planned prayers. You're already together. It's an opportunity to pray. I have, for many times in my life, I have had regular prayer partners. We meet on a regular basis, whatever that looks like. Could be every other week. It could be once a month. When my kids were in we had different focuses many times. When my kids were in school, we met and prayed for each other's kids. We prayed for our families. But I've always had, off and on, a regular prayer partner. And we meet and pray. And we schedule it. It's on the calendar. I've had different prayer partners for different seasons. And nowadays, there's the option of, if you can't get together, you can Skype. Skype. And you can get on the phone. Those that talk on the phone. I had a prayer partner, Monica in Tucson, and she and I we prayed regularly, and she and I still talk once or twice a year, and the natural thing for us to do to this day is when we're done, we spend some time praying, because it's just the natural thing for her and I to do. We're sisters in the Lord. We've been prayer partners. We're still long-distance prayer partners. We still end our conversation praying together. Or you may group with prayer partners, or you may have a group of ladies that you get together with. Rhonda mentioned Sweet Fellowship. We get together once a month. And we have different focuses of why we pray. This year, what we're doing is we're looking at 1 Timothy 2:1. Pray for people and pray for those in authority. So what we're doing is we're going through the persecuted church, the top 10 in the list. We're taking a different country every month, and we're praying for our brothers and sisters. And then we're taking a different leader, whether it's the president or the mayor, whoever it is, and we're praying for them, because that's in Scripture. But then there's different times that we'll pray. We have something that's on somebody's heart. It might be something here at our church. We pray a lot for our church, and that's what we focus on praying. So we have regular prayer times, and we have a focused reason for getting together and pray. So those are planned prayer times. Then there's unplanned prayer times. And even when we were looking at the members of the church in Acts, they had their normal busy lives. I don't know if it was when Peter and John were arrested or when they were released. But at some point, they stopped what they were doing, and they gathered. And so when they got the report from Peter and John, they prayed. It was a habit of the early church in Acts. Sometimes it was two, Paul and Silas in prison. Sometimes it was the whole church when Peter was arrested later on in Acts 12. So, something to think about. The next time somebody shares a burden with you and asks you to pray, you can say, "Let's pray right now." 2 minutes. And you can do it in person or you can do it on the phone. You know, we do a lot of things together. What are some of the things we do together? We go shopping together, lunch together. What? I have that on here. We go to the bathroom together. Girls' night out, kids' play day. These are all opportunities. 5 minutes and pray. You can pray with your eyes open while you're watching the kids. Every time? No, not at all. But we need to make some times of prayer, unplanned times of prayer. I like this quote from Lloyd Martin Jones. He says, "Don't ignore an impulse to pray." Don't ignore. And that's true in our personally, and it's true when we're with others. Don't ignore an impulse to pray. And I confess I do it more times than I'd like to count, but I'm working on it. So what to pray for? The who, what, when, where, what? What do we pray for? Everything. Pray for each other. Pray for your kids. Pray for your husbands. Pray for the members of our church. Pray when needs arise. Pray for other churches. Pray for our gospel partners. Pray for the unsaved. Pray for Christian leaders. Pray for secular leaders. Pray for others that are affected by natural disasters or persecution. Any other thoughts? What can we pray for? Those who persecute you, yes, your enemies. The church in America. Pray, pray, pray.
I was thinking too about the times where you are struggling so much, whether it's fear or pain or whatever it is, and you literally feel like you almost can't pray. And at that point, that's when I need my friends to pray for me. Desperately need them to intercede, and I'm so thankful that I have so many people who will intercede for me. But I think we need to be mindful of when there is someone around us that is at that point.
Yes.
They need to be interceded for.
And there's something amazing about being interceded for, but hearing the intercession. Hearing the intercession on my behalf, your behalf. Yes. Any other suggestions of when we can pray, where we can pray, what to pray that you guys have experienced?
The shower.
The shower. Well, that's not in community, though. I did say couples.
I mean, the only time you get together.
So true.
Okay,
I'm writing that one down. Where's my pencil? No, you know what? That's right. Oh, I just...
Okay.
There are a lot of unplanned. And it doesn't have to be long. It's 2 minutes at most. If we're praying short prayers, we can cover a lot of ground.
I think, too, it's so important, too, that sometimes your friend is so burdened, and you're burdened for them. You don't know what to pray. You're the friend. And all you can say, "Lord, help. We don't know what to pray, but we know we need you. Let's
yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've all been there. The only prayer you can pray is help.
I think along with that, firstly, for us to take opportunities to pray joyful situations, to celebrate with those, for celebrating
those
things.
Yeah. Absolutely. What child doesn't run to their parent with the bad news and with the good news? Yeah.
Terry, I find a lot of people share their raw emotions and experiences on social media as initially things that have happened. They'll share good things that have happened, or sometimes bad times or trials, or use social media sometimes as it's just a place that people seem to spend a lot of time on. And I think there's a way of interceding with is a community, you may not physically be there. People do that well, and you never know how that's going to have an impact on somebody who sees that or reads it.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yep.
Or even take it a step, like if it's a friend that maybe is not here, take that opportunity to text them or call them and say, I saw this is going on, I'm praying for you, this is what I prayed.
Let's pray now, and they can or they can or they won't. But even I think we're learning together to pray, and it can spread. I mean, this understanding of part of community is we're praying together, and it one couple at one person at a time, one couple at a time, one family at a time, and just that more and more, it's natural for us to pray together. Yeah. And so with all the things that what we can pray about, I agree with Mindy that sometimes we just pray on Thanksgiving. Just to spend time. I had a Sunday school teacher one time challenge us that spend the month not making one request. All your prayer time is praise and Thanksgiving. It's interesting. It's life-changing. That you don't make one request. I mean, I think the Lord wants us to come to him with all his requests, but it's a good thing to just practice and learn. And so even when we get together with somebody else, just spend that time, no requests. You're just thanking the Lord together for all that you're just sharing one thing after another, all the wonderful benefits, each one of you, and see how uplifted you will leave that place. And so then the why. And we've already talked about that. Why is it important that we gather and pray? It reminds us and says to the world that we're a family. It's an important way we care for each other. And what a blessing to our Father. No different than when our children. What a blessing to our Heavenly Father. So right now, it may not feel like the natural thing to do, to pray with others. That's for sure. It was me and it is me at sometimes. I still feel that way sometimes. But let's not let being uncomfortable stop us. It's going to take thought and effort, and we're going to have to make the time. But it's a vital part of our Christian walk and so worth the journey. So that's why we're going to pray for each other this month. So you have your card with your new prayer group, and you can be praying for each other that we would grow in prayer, grow in community prayer, praying with others. And then we'd like for you to get together this month. You could get all three of you get together, or two of you at a time, which means somebody has to make the effort. In anything in life with a family, somebody has to make the effort and contact the others. Try to get together in person. Pray over the phone. But we'd like you to get together at least once this month and pray. And I thought you could even spend a little time, we have enough time talking tonight, about what maybe that would look like this month. So you're not calling each other cold turkey. So you have your cards with names and phone numbers. And so if you want to get emails, go ahead and do that. And then just get together at least once this month and pray in community. So, a final word from Corrie Ten Boom. She is a Holocaust survivor, a Christian author and speaker. The devil smiles when we are up to our ears in work, but he trembles when we pray. The devil smiles when we are up to our ears in work, but he trembles when we pray. Satan does not want us praying, and he for sure doesn't want us praying in community. So recognize his lies, recognize his distractions, and by God's grace, determine to pray. So let's go ahead. Any questions, any thoughts? Let's go ahead and make our circle of prayer. We're going to close the evening. And I'll have one final, don't leave before, just stand there, and I'll have one final announcement.